Welcome to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. I'm Jamie Dodd. Canucks Talk brought to you by Avenue Machinery and Douglas Lake Equipment. Be a champion on the worksite. Find them together online at DLEAMC.com. I am live from the Kintec studio. Kintec, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet, what are you waiting for? 650. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. What a show we've got coming up for you. What a night. What a game last night at Rogers Arena. Unbelievable spectacle. Fantastic moment for the Canucks and their fans last night. Drantz will be along at noon again today. Jason Brough is going to join me at 11:30. That's how you know last night was a big deal, that Jason Brough has agreed to work outside of his regular hours on the station and call in and have a conversation with me. That's when you know things are serious, is when we've got Brough on outside of his normal hours on the show. We'll have Mark Spector. Oh, you guys will enjoy that one. Spector will be on with us to talk about that game last night out of Edmonton. Of course, well, he's here in Vancouver, but he covers the Oilers at 12:30. And then at 1 o'clock, the man of the hour here in Vancouver, our pal from ESPN, Ryan Clark. Of course, as you know by now, the only member of ESPN's NHL coverage to pick the Canucks in this series. He's in Vancouver. He was at the game last night. He's being greeted like a conquering hero here in the city. The adopted son of Vancouver now, Ryan Clark. He'll join us in studio at 1 o'clock. So I'm really excited about that one. 650, as I mentioned, is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Get your thoughts in. Have you had a chance to catch your breath after that game last night? And you know, one of the things I said going into this series was, more than anything else, I wanted it to live up to the hype, live up to the entertainment standard set early already in round two of these playoffs. And boy, did it do that. A phenomenal 5-4 comeback win for the Vancouver Canucks over the Edmonton Oilers in game one. And it's remarkable. We're only seven games into this postseason for the Canucks. They've already given us more than a handful of classic, memorable playoff moments, right? You go back to game one against Nashville, the 12 seconds between the two goals, Dakota Joshua scoring to put them up one. The miracle comeback in game four when they were lifeless, done. And then somehow they end up winning that game on the road in Nashville. Pew Suter winning it with 99 seconds to go in game six, finally getting the monkey off his back in that series. Three of their five wins so far have been third period comebacks in this playoffs. Another one, they broke a tie with 99 seconds to go, as I mentioned. But all of those moments in that Nashville series last night, that's the biggest one yet. And part of that is because it's round two, right? It's just inherently a bigger deal than winning games in round one. Part of that is, yes, they were the underdogs coming into this series. That gives it a little bit more emotional power, right? Doing it as an underdog means more than doing it as the favorite like they were against Nashville. And of course, it's a Western Canadian rival. We've all seen the war of words, the hype, the animosity between the fan bases. And then you go out and you take a game like that. That's a legendary night, legendary moment at Rogers Arena. There's a reason the building was as loud as it has ever been. Just an incredible job by Canucks fans. You heard from the players. You heard from Rick Tocchet how much that support meant to them. And it's easy to see why people have gotten so on board with this team, why people have really fallen in love with this team, because they keep coming through. They keep giving us these moments that people are going to remember for a long time. Already in the playoffs, we've had so many of them. And I do want to focus on one person in particular, though, right? Because, look, there's so much we can get into from the game last night. The great individual performances, the moments, Connor Garland scoring the winner in the celebration, JT Miller and that tip and the job he did against McDavid, Dakota Joshua, his performance, Zadorov, all of it, right? Like, brilliant, brilliant moments. But the guy I want to talk about a little bit more, and we've talked about him a lot on the show this year, is Rick Tocchet. And I understand Rick Tocchet is not exactly flying under the radar, right? He's a Jack Adams nominee. He's almost certainly going to win the award. He has gotten so much deserved recognition for the job he's done. And yet somehow I still think he's underrated. I still think the job he has done this year and since being hired last year as Canucks head coach, that we're not fully appreciating just how impressive it is. And the number one thing that stands out to me, I mean, we can talk about the structure and the way he's changed how this team plays, the defensive turnaround they've had. That's phenomenally impressive in its own right. Like, if all he had done for this team was transform them from one of the worst defensive teams in the league last year to one of the best this year, that's a Jack Adams Award-winning type of season right there. But that's not even his biggest accomplishment with this team, at least not in my view. As I was talking about, you know, the belief we're seeing from the team, the belief we're seeing from the fans. And there's a symbiotic relationship right there, right? It feeds itself. The fans provide that extra boost to the players. The players deliver a moment, and it's a positive feedback cycle. And Rick Tocchet is the person who's made that all possible. People are buying into this team. People are buying that this year might be different. And think about how hard it is for Canucks fans to really do that. Like, this fan base, this city, so conditioned to expect the worst, right? To expect the Canucksiest outcome. And there's a reason for that. Over 50 years of frustration, of coming up short, of things going sideways, the last decade where the team just couldn't get out of its own way. And Rick Tocchet has come in, and I'm not going to say single-handedly because there's other people who have played a role here, we'll get to it, but Rick Tocchet has been the number one reason that the team and the fans have flipped that on its head. They don't expect the worst anymore. The team doesn't, the fans don't, the fans in that building don't. They expect the team to keep fighting. They expect the players to come through. They expect a big moment to go in the Canucks' favor. And that just didn't exist before Rick Tocchet got here, before Rick Tocchet started to change how the team sees itself, how this city sees the team. Don't take it from me. Quinn Hughes, speaking after the game last night, right, was asked about, hey, you guys have had these comebacks. Where does that belief come from? And I thought he had some really, really interesting insight into just how much Rick Tocchet has changed how this team sees itself. Here's Quinn Hughes last night.
Yeah, a big part of it. But I think, you know, it starts in September, and it starts, you know, really it started last year and trying to get us to believe and kind of get the stink that was out of here, you know, the previous years before that. So I think it's been not just a message that we're saying before this series. It's been a message for 9 or 10 months now, and I think, you know, we just have confidence in what we need to do, and they do a really good job of giving us a game plan and the details of the game, and we try to execute that, and it gives us a good chance to win.
That's Quinn Hughes, and, you know, in typical Quinn Hughes fashion, he's keeping a pretty even keel there. Not a lot of highs and lows out of Quinn Hughes, but that's the captain of the team pretty casually saying, yeah, Rick Tocchet, like, helped us get the stink out of here. The stink! And that's a... That's a great choice of words. What else would you call the doom and gloom hanging over the team, the just pervading sense that they couldn't get out of their own way for the last 2, 3, 4 seasons before Rick Tocchet took over? It was a stink, as Quinn Hughes said. And I think we maybe sometimes underestimate how difficult it is to get the stink away from a team, right? Like, look at the Leafs. Yeah, they've won a lot in the regular season, but no one's been able to get that stink of playoff failure out of the way, and they keep doing it. They keep getting in their own heads. They keep failing. Once that mentality, once that kind of psyche establishes itself on a team, establishes itself with a fan base, it's really, really difficult to change. And Rick Tocchet's been able to do that. And again, yes, the defensive structure, the way they play, the staples, all of that is crucial, but it wouldn't mean anything without that belief that Quinn Hughes is talking about. That is Rick Tocchet's biggest accomplishment. He has transformed how this team sees itself. He's transformed the way they believe in what they can do. He's transformed how the fans in the city see this team. It's very, very rare for a coach to come in and have that kind of impact on a team psyche. We see coaches come in and a team get a new coach bump, right, all the time. I mean, look at the Oilers in this series. You know, Woodcroft's message maybe wearing a little thin, little tactical tweak. Chris Knobloch comes in, and they start playing a lot better. That's a common story in hockey. But it doesn't usually look like this. It doesn't usually look like a complete and total turnaround in every facet of the team's game, in every facet of how they carry themselves, how they believe in themselves, like it does for Rick Tocchet and the Canucks. And, you know, I know Rick Tocchet wasn't thrilled with himself for his emotional reaction to the win last night, right? He said after the game, you know, I don't actually like seeing that, especially not after game one. That's not great. Usually he's very, very reserved, even in big moments behind the bench. But it's hard not to love it. It's hard not to love seeing that from Rick Tocchet. More than anything, right? He has rebuilt the emotional connection between the market, the fan base, and that team. And I think that's what you were seeing. And he said after the game, he was just caught up in the moment. He was so excited. He was so happy for the team and the way they battled back, the way they competed. That's how Rick Tocchet feels. I don't think it's a coincidence that that's how the city feels about this team right now. He's put in the work, done the work. We always use the word culture, right? And it's such a nebulous thing. It's hard to pin down. But you can say with 100% degree of confidence that Rick Tocchet has dramatically changed the culture of this Vancouver Canucks team. And I will say, look, obviously it wasn't just Tocchet. Credit to the players for buying in. You know, Quinn Hughes is captain. He plays a huge role in this as well. I think he was the perfect choice for captain. I said he's even keel. That has done wonders, I think, for this team. You look how JT Miller has transformed his game and really his style of leadership and embraced that role of being a leader this year as well. Hey, you got to give a ton of credit to Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin too. One, for hiring Tocchet. That's been their best move. They've made a lot of good moves. Their best move is clearly hiring Rick Tocchet. So there's a lot of credit to go around. But this is a legendary coaching job by Rick Tocchet. He's going to win the Jack Adams. He deserves it. And I still, despite all that, despite all the accolades, despite all the time we've spent talking about it, I still think we don't fully appreciate what he's done for this team in its totality just yet. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Get your thoughts in. This text comes in. Credit to the assistant coaches, too. Absolutely. They've done a great job. And again, that stems from Rick Tocchet, right? Like the individual assistant coaches deserve credit. That's true. But it's Rick Tocchet who is putting them in a position to succeed, who's setting the overall culture, the overall environment for the other people on the staff to succeed. 650-650, get your thoughts in. All right. Looking a little bit deeper into that game, and I mean, again, what just an incredible moment or series of moments, really, culminating with the Connor Garland goal to put the Canucks up on the Oilers. They did a really good job closing it out in the final few minutes, I thought, against the Oilers. And now the question is, what will continue from game one for the rest of the series? Or what do the Canucks hope will continue from game one to the rest of the series? Because I think Edmonton clearly is going to play better games than they did last night in this series. They were not good. Connor McDavid is going to get a shot on goal at some point in this series. All credit to JT Miller. He's not going to hold Connor McDavid shotless in this series, right? So you can expect a big counterpunch at some point from Edmonton. But I do think there's some things that the Canucks did last night that even if they don't work to the same magnitude that they did last night, that's going to give them chances to keep getting wins in this series. That's going to give them a chance to take this series. And the one that stands out to me first and foremost was the Elias Lindholm line terrorizing the Nurse and CC pairing, which is the second pairing for the Edmonton Oilers. The Lindholm line was okay, I would say, against Nashville, but they didn't, you know, they came through in moments, but they didn't generate a ton outside of those moments. Last night, they did a really, really good job of playing in Edmonton's end of generating scoring chances. Now, they were matched up mostly, but not exclusively, with the Draisaitl line. Of course, Draisaitl kind of in and out of the game, maybe a little limited from what he would normally be able to do, so that helps. But if you look specifically at the Lindholm line's minutes against the Nurse and CC pairing, they dominated. Obviously, 3 goals, 4-0 against. The possession metrics, they're crooked too. 7 shots, 4-2 against. Scoring chances 5-1 in favor of Lindholm when he was out there against Nurse and CeCe. That is a dominant performance in that matchup for the Elias Lindholm line. And if the Canucks need that, right? Like Drance and I talked previewing this series that, okay, if you're putting JT Miller up against Connor McDavid, even if he does an incredibly good job of limiting McDavid, which he obviously did last night, you still need that supplementary offense to come from somewhere else, right? Because that's such a tall task for JT Miller. Is he going to be able to carry? Is his line going to be able to carry the offensive load if they're engaged with shutting down Connor McDavid. Well, to offset that, you need Elias Lindholm to be able to not just tread water in that matchup against Leon Draisaitl, but to put in that work in the offensive zone. And they got it done last night. And I think, you know, not every, like, the Garland one is off the rush, you know, but the other one, Lindholm, he's doing work down below the goal line, gets a fortunate bounce off Skinner, but still, that's by creating a scoring chance from right around the goal mouth. The Dakota Joshua goal comes off a bounce off the boards, but he's right around the net. I think that line, with their forechecking ability, with their ability to play around the net, with their willingness to be in the dirty areas, right? The combination of physicality from Joshua and Lindholm. And by the way, did anyone in Vancouver realize just how physical Lindholm could be when they made that trade? That guy has a ton of strength. He is a big fella out there, and he's not afraid to use it. But the physicality from Lindholm and Joshua combined with the down-low playmaking by Connor Garland, I think that's a combination that can give Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci a lot of problems. It's not always going to be a 3-0 goals for advantage at 5-on-5, of course. But I think they can make life very uncomfortable for that pairing in this series. Another huge positive sign here, now, didn't make it count on the scoreboard in the same way, but Elias Pettersson and his line dominated the bottom half of the Oilers roster. Again, they didn't score. That's going to have to change to really put that stress on Knobloch and the Oilers. You're going to have to make that dominance count on the scoreboard at some point here. But they were matched up against the third defensive pair, right? Kulak and Desharnais, the third line mostly, some other bottom six in there, and they tilted the ice. They did exactly what we wanted to see them do against Nashville and Colton Sissons, and they weren't able to. They tilted the ice. They didn't give anything up. They dominated that matchup. Yes, they need to finish. Maybe it's not going to be Ilya Mikheyev at this point ever. Nils Höglander can certainly play better. He has the capability to finish. Pettersson's got to score, obviously, at some point himself. But that's the kind of performance at least you can look at. Clearly, Elias Pettersson's best performance of the playoffs in my book. You can at least look at that last night and say, if that matchup stays the same and Elias Pettersson is playing like that, a monster defensive effort, by the way, I thought, and they're generating chances and heavy shifts like that, they're going to score. The goals are going to come. That's really the first time I think you've been able to say that with any confidence in this postseason about Elias Pettersson, about Elias Pettersson's line. That is a huge, huge benefit for the Canucks. They need to make those minutes count. Didn't on the scoreboard last night, but you saw the signs to feel really, really good about what they could do in the rest of this series. And the other thing that I thought was fascinating, Canucks only went to the PK once. And yes, it was a disastrous start. Exactly what you didn't want. Bench Minor in the first minute on the first shift of the game. Edmonton scores. That's the only time the Canucks were shorthanded. One other penalty called against them. Of course, it was it resulted in 4-on-4 play because there was a penalty against the Oilers as well. Only 3 power play opportunities total in that game. That's a very, very good sign for the Canucks. Drance has talked a lot about how typically there's way more power plays called or way more penalties called in power play opportunities early in a series. Well, the Canucks just played game one, the earliest game in the series, and there are only 3 power plays total. So if it declines from there, or even if it just stays there as this series gets later, yes, the Canucks need to keep playing disciplined hockey. But if the refs are already a little bit inclined to have a bit of a looser whistle or a tighter whistle, whatever you want to call it, and not call so many infractions, that could play right into the Canucks' hand. That's no guarantee. That's out of their control, obviously, as well. But that was one of the things I was watching for. How do the refs officiate this series? What's the standard of play? How much do they let these teams play and be physical? The Canucks did a great, great job yesterday of playing physical, using their strength, getting in hard on the forecheck, finishing their checks while staying on the right side, while being disciplined. And again, only the one time on the penalty kill for the Canucks. All right, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. This one from Cam in Port Moody. Are we at the point where Zadorov is worth re-signing more than Hronek based off his playoff performance? I want to pause most of the what does this mean for the guy after the playoff run until after the playoff run, right? That conversation, because this is a big deal, right? They're in this second round series against the Oilers. But I will say, my assumption for a long time has been Zadorov would be too expensive for the Canucks. if he keeps playing like this. And again, the big tell for me is not just the production, right? Although huge to get that goal, get that assist, and, you know, great job starting that play that Dakota Joshua tips to Connor Garland or relays to Connor Garland, and he scores the winning goal. That's huge. But you just see the way his role is increased, and then you hear Rick Tocchet speak about what he's done for this team, speak about his role, Zadorov's role in the culture of the team. And, you know, look, I was just raving about Rick Tocchet. I put a lot of stock into his view of how the personalities fit together on this team, who's important. If Rick Tocchet is raving about Nikita Zadorov like this, it doesn't mean you break out the bank. It doesn't mean you break the bank to re-sign him. It doesn't mean you write him a blank check. But it might mean you have to start reconsidering, okay, what are the different things we can do? Are there scenarios where we can make this work, where we can figure it out, where it looked like it was going to be too expensive, but now all of a sudden maybe it makes sense? And the role thing is huge there. Because if you're looking at him as kind of a 4-5, but ideally on your third pairing, it's tough to justify the term, the money that it's going to cost to keep him. If your coaching staff is convinced, actually, this guy's more of a 3-4, like we feel really good about having him in our top four, then that becomes a very different conversation with Nikita Zadorov going forward. Rich texts in, if the Canucks could score the first two goals in the next game, that could play serious mind games with the Oilers. That is from Rich. And that's part of it. We're going to talk to Bruff here in just a few minutes. I played his commentary yesterday about planting the seeds of doubt. That was kind of the phrase of the day in Vancouver yesterday. You got to think the Canucks did that. We're successful doing that. Now, does that mean those seeds of doubt are going to bloom and flourish over the course of the series? Well, we'll see. But you got to plant it first. And they did that. The Oilers lost in really, really tough fashion. They probably thought they were going to coast to victory at that one. And they didn't. They lost. Five straight losses in a row, as we all know now, for them against the Vancouver Canucks. Yeah. You wouldn't be human if that doesn't put a little bit of a seed of doubt into your mind. This one, are they going to sit Cole next game? I would be a little surprised. Obviously, brutal, brutal night for Ian Cole. The too many men, giveaways that lead directly to goals. Puck goes in, deflecting off him on a point shot from Cody Ceci. Not Ian Cole's finest moment. And there were probably nobody happier than Ian Cole that the Canucks came back and won that game and that he wasn't the major talking point. But I will also say, if you look at the underlying numbers in that game, like, other than the big glaring moments, and I realize that's a huge asterisk to put on it, like, Ian Cole's numbers were actually really good in that game. Now, he didn't play a ton. Obviously, the coaching staff recognizing that he wasn't the sharpest of his sharpest game for Ian Cole last night, so they limited his minutes. But Ian Cole was really good against Nashville. Ian Cole, the most experienced playoff player on this team, veteran, won a cup with Pittsburgh. If we're talking in Pittsburgh, I don't think you take him out after one rough game, especially when it was moments and the team was actually mostly controlling play with him on the ice. I think you go back to Ian Cole for game two. 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Lots of commentary coming in. I'll sort through some of it here during the break, flag some, and I can get to them later on in the show. But joining me next, he picked the Oilers in this series. He was wearing the black hat. Jason Bruff from Halford and Bruff. He'll join me next. I'll get his thoughts on a big comeback win in game one for the Vancouver Canucks here on Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. Welcome back to Canucks Talk, Sportsnet 650. Jamie Dodd here. Drancer will be along at noon to join the show. I am live from the Kintec Studio. 650, 650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Dunbar Lumber, with three stores to serve you in Ladner on Bridge Street, or Dunbar Lumber Express at Ladner Center, or Arbutus in Vancouver online at dunbarlumber.com. Joining me now, though, in a move even more remarkable than a three-goal comeback in the playoffs for the Canucks last night, he's appearing on the station outside of his regular working hours. From Halford and Brough in the Morning, here he is, Jason Brough. What's going on, man?
Hello, Jamie. I listened to the tease you gave me on the other side.
Yes.
And was the idea, let's bring on Brough. He picked the Oilers. Get a load of this idiot. I would respect that approach,
say,
by the way.
Like,
I think that is awesome. Was I the only one that picked the Oilers? Did everyone else pick the Canucks?
No.
Was I, like, the outsider?
So yeah, we did it on the crossover yesterday, and I was the only one who picked the Canucks. And I did it explicitly.
Oh, you did pick the Canucks.
I did it, well, but I'll be honest. Like, I did it explicitly so that it wasn't a clean sweep of us picking the Oilers. Like, somebody had to pick the, you know how they have those graphics, like, when they do it on TV?
Yeah.
And everyone picks one team and then the other team wins? It's like, no, you know, you can't do that. Somebody's got to put their hand up and pick the underdog.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'll tell you two things. If Skinner keeps playing like that.
Yep.
And if Petey keeps playing like that, I may be proven very wrong. And happily proven wrong,
no,
just like I was about this Canucks team this season. But, you know, I went into this series and I was like, look, I picked them to beat Nashville, and they did. They took care of business then. But then I just thought, they don't have Demko, and as well as Silas played against Nashville, he's still a 23-year-old third-string goalie going up against a team that, you know, they may have had that bad start, but if you think about it, it might have been a blessing in disguise for them. We've seen actually quite a few teams win the Stanley Cup after firing their coach halfway through the season. So there might be something to that. And the other thing was, like, if you're not getting anything out of Petey, then, like, I mean, for me, it was kind of obvious to pick the Oilers, but, you know, I think what we saw last night was obviously Skinner struggling, but I think more optimistically for me was Petey having a really good game. And actually, for the first time watching that game, I was kind of drawn onto the side of, you know, it's his winger's fault that he's not producing. Whereas before I've been like, yeah, his wingers aren't very good, but neither is he.
Yeah, last night with Pettersson, I said in the first inning, it was the first time this postseason where you could actually watch it and say, okay, if he keeps doing that, he'll be fine, right? Like, yes, there were maybe glimmers of hope or baby steps in the Nashville series, but that was the first one where I think you could walk away and say, if he plays like that, eventually the goals will come. Now, maybe Ilya Mikheyev and Nils Höglander have something to say about that, about the goals eventually coming. But, you know, I felt like that was easily his best performance. And if that continues and he's able and they're able to kind of set up shop in Edmonton's zone against the bottom six, I mean, I think that kind of puts the Canucks on the front foot and maybe forces Edmonton to have to make some tough choices. But, like, that could be a deciding factor in this series, is if you get, I don't want to say, like, vintage Pettersson, because I don't think it was that type of performance, but something closer to that than we've seen in a long time.
Yeah, I think the problem for Petey right now is that you're not going to break up the Miller line and you're not going to break up the Lindholm line.
Yep.
So he might be stuck with it. You know, I have wondered at times, boy, could you bump Bluger back up to play with Garland and Joshua and give Petey a little bit of Lindholm. But I just don't think that's something that Rick Tocchet wants to do right now. So I think the best thing would be to just, you know, hopefully he gets some confidence from that performance. Hopefully he hears the good reviews from everyone, and hopefully he can do something. Maybe it's going to be on the power play that he does something, or maybe, you know, Höglander finds his game, which he seems to have lost. It's not like he's not doing anything well out there. It just, he's not putting it all together. And then Mikheyev, you know, we all know Mikheyev, he's just really snake bitten, and he's snake bitten with hands that weren't very good to begin with. So, you know, I feel for him, because I'm sure he's thinking, God, I need to score some goals here. And he rattles one off the post. So, no, but all in all, like, what a fun night.
Oh.
And, you know, I am very curious, though, to see how the Oilers respond on Friday. Because if they take that one, then all of a sudden they've got home ice advantage at the best of five with them, you know, with them having stolen one in Vancouver.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of carries over from game one. Like, what did the Canucks do well in game one that they can keep doing well in game two and for the rest of the series? And, you know, I got to think, and I mentioned this off the top of the show, one of the number one things on my list for that would be, can the Lindholm line keep kind of feasting on Darnell Nurse and Cody Ceci? And that was an easy pairing. You know, if you read anything, any reactions or commentary from Oilers fans, they hate that pairing, right? And you can see why after last night. Like, there are flaws there to be picked apart. And I thought the Lindholm line, with their kind of combination of physicality and the playmaking from Garland, like, they should be able to get opportunities against that pairing for the whole series.
Jamie, did you know Lindholm was such a physical player and so strong on the puck before he came to Vancouver?
I said that earlier in the show.
Game a bit. Like, has he gone into like old man strength mode? Like, he's like, I may have lost my legs a little bit, but I'm still really strong.
He's big.
He has a heavy shot too, and like everything about him is heavy.
He's listed at 6'1". Just over 200 pounds, but like, he looks bigger than that on the ice. And when he does go in for a check, like, he is physical. He is strong as hell out there. I'll be honest. Like, I did not realize that was such a big part of his game before he got here.
Yeah, neither did I. We should not be scouts, I guess.
No, I was still excited about it, but I didn't realize he had that aspect to it. Nikita Zadorov.
You know, by the way, I just wanted to mention something, cause I didn't really mention it on the morning show. Go watch Connor McDavid's post-game scrum with the media, because they were trying to get him to say, like, we were too passive when we had the 3-goal lead. You know, we need to keep attacking or something like that. Mm-hmm. They were, the media was trying to coax him towards that. And you could tell that he was sitting there going, like, no, maybe a little bit passive. Because he didn't want to be like, well, we needed our goalie to make a save, right? Because he's in a tough position there, because when you think about it, right? I mean, the Lindholm goal was banked in off of Skinner's stick. And then the JT Miller, I mean, it was a nice tip by JT Miller, but he didn't look great on it. He's kind of waving at it. But whatever, we won't hold that against him. The Zadorov one's a point shot.
Yep.
And then the Garland one, like, that was the only one he seemed to admit, and I'm talking about Skinner here, that he maybe should have had. But I just wonder, you know, we had talked about planting seeds of doubt, and I know you referenced that in the previous segment, but, you know, that would be the big one for me in Edmonton is Skinner, because, you know, I had heard at least that Skinner was playing pretty well, but we all know that playoff pressure is a whole different other thing. And, if Skinner plays like that throughout the series, then the Canucks definitely have a very good chance at this thing.
So you're here to start the story that the Oilers star players have lost faith in Stuart Skinner and net. Internal dissent in the Oilers locker room. It's going to rip the team apart.
I heard they had to have a closed door meeting, and Evander Kane was also part of that. Of course. They are being torn apart from the insides. And Chris Knobloch, you know, he's a rookie coach. He didn't know what to do. He didn't know what to do.
That's just
what I've heard, though. So it might. I can't say I can verify that, but it's just what I've heard.
Interesting. All right.
Yeah.
The Canucks, as we heard from Rick Tocchet, not being torn apart from the inside. And how much does Rick Tocchet love Nikita Zadorov, right? Like, we all see it on the ice, right? And what he does and the way he plays. But then even Rick Tocchet being like, yeah, he's cracking me up in a tie game with 5 minutes left on the bench. At what point do you kind of, like, at what point do you throw, you know, logic and, okay, how much do we have to pay this guy, and start thinking seriously about what you have to do to retain him? Because when you hear Rick Tocchet just raving about him time after time, like, this guy's clearly a massive part of the team right now.
If you put a poll question out there and said, which would you prefer, retain Hronek or retain Zadorov and have Juleson play with Quinn Hughes, like, I think you might, like, the Zadorov and Juleson option might win.
I think it would.
You know? Yeah, I think it would at this point. Now, you have to be careful, when there are situations like that, not to overpay. We've seen guys have great playoff performances, but I think it's very noteworthy that Rick Tocchet, sometimes when he's not even asked about Zadorov, brings up Zadorov. And I don't know if that's just because he really likes him or he's kind of lobbying management to get this guy signed. But yeah, Zadorov has been very impressive, and he's really added kind of another likable character to this Canucks group.
Yeah, and I love how much Rick Tocchet appreciates that aspect of Zadorov, right? Like, you can tell Rick Tocchet is just such a classic hockey guy because he values, like, the chirping so much, you know what I mean? I don't even mean chirping the other team, like the internal chirping, the internal jokes, the internal camaraderie. And I think back
when he came to the job and he was like, this is a quiet group.
They're too quiet. They don't talk enough. And he wasn't meaning like they don't communicate on the ice. He was like, they don't like, you know, bust each other's balls in the locker room enough. Mm-hmm. And clearly Zadorov does that. And it's the kind of thing you can kind of like roll your eyes at a little bit, but then you see the job Rick Tocchet has done and how he's kind of transformed this team, and you get why he cares about it so much.
I love everything that Rick Tocchet has done with this team.
Yep.
It's just they have gone from, I mean, I love the way he started the season when he said, let's just embrace the pressure. The pressure's coming. You can't do anything. Don't hide from it. Meet it head on. I love how I don't want to say that the team had a bit of a victim mentality, but there, I guess I just went and said it. Like, that's gone now, right? He hates the yelling at the ref. He hates the blaming the ref thing. And he's just like, there are going to be things that happen that aren't going to go your way. Are you going to lose your mind about it? Or are you going to keep your composure and stick to the plan? And look at what happened last night. They could have easily lost their composure, but they didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And they hung in there. They got a big goal to make it 4-2. And I thought at that point, I'm not turning this game off. They're still very much in it. In fact, I was prepping for the morning show going, even if the Canucks lose this game, there's a lot of good to take from it. They end up scoring 3 goals, you know, in quick fashion and winning the game. So I had to throw that takeaway. But you know, I think there was a lot of good that came from last night, and there was a lot of, we practiced this during the regular season, and now it's paying off in the playoffs.
Well, you know, Quinn Hughes said last night, to your point about Tocchet, right? Like, he helped get the stink out, you know, and that's a funny way to put it, but like, what do you call it? Victim mentality or lack of belief, you know, losing culture, whatever you want to call it. We all know what we're talking about. Like, we saw it play out over the last number of seasons for this team where they could just never get out of their own way. And, you know, I was saying earlier in the show, like, yeah, Rick Tocchet's going to win the Jack Adams. I don't think we actually fully appreciate the job he's done, though, because it's not just that he's changed the way they play and made them a good defensive team. That's impressive enough. But to change, to completely flip the mentality of this team the way he's done in such a short period, that's rare, like across sports. And I think you're seeing, you know, with how incredible the crowd was last night, how incredible they've been throughout these playoffs. And there's always a good playoff crowd at Rogers Arena, but like, I think they're responding to what Rick Tocchet has done. They see what he's done for the team, and the fans are buying into it too. And man, it's rare for a head coach in any sport to have that kind of type of impact in this short a time frame.
Yeah, why the hell did I pick against Tocchet? Like, what were you thinking? Yeah, why didn't Halford say, like, but Tocchet? I'm like, you're right, Canucks in 4. You know, I really do think it's an incredible job he's done, and I agree with you. The fans have taken it on. And I love, you know, I walk the dog after the show, and he's a crazy dog and he's going to bankrupt me, but I still walk him. And I go by, you know, I walk him by the elementary schools and all the kids out there in their Canucks gear.
Yep.
And it's just, I mean, it's awesome to see. Right. And there's a lot of kids that might be 13, 14, 15 years old, and they haven't gotten to experience this yet. They haven't got to experience the city and the excitement of game day and the roller coaster that is the playoffs. And believe me, like, I don't think the roller coaster is over in this series.
Nope.
Like, we're going to see a response from Edmonton. Even if the Canucks do win game two, they still got to go back to Edmonton. And, you know, Connor McDavid is not going to go out with a whimper, or at least I'd be shocked if he does. So we're going to see a lot more, but man, it's fun. It's a beautiful day today. You know, I'm driving around, there's Canucks flags everywhere. And I really do think that although it's the players doing the job, Rick Tocchet is the number one reason why this is all happening.
Yeah.
I honestly do believe that.
I don't, like, look, there's lots of credit to go around, right? And you know, Jim Rutherford and Patrick Elvin for hiring Tocchet, but
absolutely.
Like, but yeah. I mean, what a job. It's incredible. And to your point about the kids and everything, I said this on Twitter, but I was dropping my daughter off at school. A bunch of like kids, maybe grade four, grade five, starting an Oilers suck chant on the playground. And then I walked past one of the kindergarten classes lining up to go in, and they were doing the more G-rated boo Oilers chant. So the kids are on board on the playgrounds, man. And you're exactly right. Like, the Canucks as a brand, as a team, as a franchise needed this kind of run for the kids today who haven't experienced it so far.
I will say that I did see one very brave kid in a Draisaitl jersey, and I didn't chirp him because even I wouldn't do that, but I kind of admired his pluckiness showing up to school in the Draisaitl jersey.
Good for him. Good for him.
Yeah.
You got to stick with your team after one game. All right, Bruff, I'll let you get back to your nap, but thank you for doing this, man. I enjoyed it.
No problem. I miss you, Jamie. I miss you.
Hey,
we had a lot of fun.
It's almost summer.
On the morning show.
Plan your. We'll coordinate vacations, and I'll hang out on the morning show with you a little bit. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Take
care,
buddy.
Man. That is Jason Bruff, of course, one of the hosts of Halford and Bruff in the morning here, and Bruff made the critical mistake of having me on his show as a guest last week, I think it was, or maybe sometime, who knows, which of course opened the door for me to force him to come on my show as a guest. So shout out to Jason Bruff for doing that. Drancer will be by here at noon to start the show. We'll do the whiteboard. We'll get his thoughts on the game last night. Of course, Mark Spector and Ryan Clark still to join us. But first, we will go back into the inbox for some of the thoughts. And, you know, just reacting to, again, what Bruff and I were talking about there, the incredible turnaround that Rick Tocchet has kind of shepherded on this team and led on this team, and the way the fans are responding to it. Todd has bad takes, says, I've been a Canucks fan for 40 years, and this is honestly the first year I've ever felt complete trust in the team and its management. It's weird, but also great as a fan. We just get to enjoy the ride without the curse of second guessing. That's from Todd has bad takes. Mark in the Sea to Sky says, I've been at every home game so far this playoffs. I'm starting to fear for the structural integrity of Rogers Arena. If we have many more moments like last night, the roof is going to blow right off the building. What a game. What a show. What a spectacle. I'm addicted. I believe. Let's go. That's a great text from Mark in the Sea to Sky. The phrasing there, I'm addicted to this. Why wouldn't you be? Why wouldn't you be when, again, this team threw seven games, five wins so far in the playoffs. There we go. I finally got the math right. But through seven games, they've already had this litany of moments, of incredible, incredible moments for the fans to experience. Some of them at home, some of them on the road. But the crowd is quickly becoming a major story for this Canucks team. And the performances the crowd is turning in at Rogers Arena, even when things aren't going well for the team. And obviously there were moments last night where, you know, it's 4-1 and that's a tough spot to really be that fired up. But as Rick Tocchet said, even after the 4-2 goal from Elias Lindholm, you're still down 2. That's still a really tough spot. But the reaction from the crowd, and Rick Tocchet said he felt that turned the momentum or helped turn the momentum. That had a big impact on his team. And again, this has a chance to be a virtuous cycle, right? Because this team is giving the crowd lots of reasons to be that loud, lots of reasons to be that passionate. And when they do, I mean, we are seeing a tangible effect on the game. It's not just, oh, that's nice, that's a cool atmosphere. The players themselves, the coach is saying, it's helping us. Elias Lindholm after the game saying, Oilers had the puck in the zone with time winding down. They didn't know how much time was left on the clock. The Oilers players are trying to yell at them, hey, shoot, time's running out. They couldn't hear because the building was so loud. And more than anything else, I think I'm Really, really excited to just see that storyline continue. They're up 1-0 in the series now. You know the building is going to be right at that tier again, right at that level again on Friday night. It doesn't guarantee a win. Obviously, it's just game one. There's a long, long way to go in this series. But that crowd is becoming a weapon for the Canucks. And it's already played a big role so far in this postseason. Island Joe says, Kelly Rudy looked shocked by the crowd noise after the game. Yeah, the Hockey Net guys, David Amber and Kelly Rudy, were there. Look, you're not going to hear anyone cast doubt or cast aspersions on the performance of the crowd. It was absolutely, absolutely dramatic. Zach from Langley says, I put my son to bed at the end of the first period last night. After reading books, waiting for him to pass out, I was able to escape at the very beginning of the third period. My son snuck out of his room 2 minutes before Miller scored. I let him finish watching the game with me. Lucas, you can stay up late and watch every Canucks game with me. And he says, happy third birthday on Saturday. That's from Zach from Langley. Happy early third birthday to your guy, Lucas. Zach, and again, you know, I mentioned seeing the kids in the schoolyard. Bruff was talking about it as well. The Canucks jerseys out there. And just those kind of family and friends moments, right? We hear from Zach. I've seen it from my own friends in my own life. I let my daughter stay up way past her bedtime and watch the end of that game last night. This is going to be formative for a lot of Canucks fans, whether it's bonding with their kids over the team, whether it's kids getting exposed to it for the first time, getting back and, you know, into the flow where you're watching every game with your buddies like you used to do. That's really special. And this team has given everyone a chance to really buy into that, to really get invested in a playoff run for the first time in way too long in this city. Kyle in Victoria says, I love that this team has no give up in them. They are playing with house money and embracing the underdog status. And again, that's not something we would have said about this team not that long ago, right? That they have that hyper-resilient mentality, that they have that never give up, that they have that self-belief even when things are going wrong. We knew if things were going right for them that they could keep it going, right? You look at the Boudreaux bump, they're getting a lot of bounces, they're getting incredible goaltending, they can go on a run, but even in that Boudreaux bump, as soon as they came close to actually sniffing the playoffs, the wheels fell off. And it started to spiral a little bit. Under Rick Tocchet, that's completely disappeared. That has completely flipped on its head. This text comes in. How crazy is the text inbox compared to normal days? Like, how many more texts are you getting today compared to a Thursday in mid-February? A lot. It's a lot. And I'm doing my best to sift through them. I'm doing my best to pick out ones to read. Sorry if I don't get to yours. But yeah, overwhelming interest, overwhelming buy-in from our fans, from our listeners, from Canucks fans right now. And man, it is an absolute blast. What a moment. Game one, long way to go. No one's planning the parade just yet, but that one, everyone deserves a chance to really appreciate it and enjoy that moment. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Keep your thoughts coming in. Drancer will join me on the other side. We'll do the whiteboard. We'll get his thoughts on the game, and we'll keep the show going. It is Canucks Talk here on Sportsnet 650.